Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, verses 26 through 34. Churning of the milk ocean. Actually, this pastime is pretty important for people because a lot of good things came from the milk ocean. The full story is not here. The full story is in Skanda. It's actually in Skanda Purana. They got a lot more there. The Tamil Brahmins say that whatever you want, you can probably find it in Skanda, because Skanda is really big. It's got 800,000 Sanskrit shlokas or something. It's really big and really long. Tulsi Rani also manifested from the milk ocean, and that's not stated in Bhagavatam. It's not surprising, you know, but it's very interesting stuff, you know. And in Padma Purana, Srishtikanda Tulsi Stava, two times she's referred to as Kshirona Matano Bhute, who has appeared from the milk ocean. So, you know, her appearance from the milk ocean is not in doubt. All right, anyway, we'll read for the pleasure of devotees. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka and Charan Loka then took the opportunity to play their musical instruments, such as conch shells, bugles, and drums. They began dancing and singing along with their wives. They were happy. When you dance and sing, you're overjoyed. This was a neat time to rejoice. And they did so. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Shloka number 26. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the great sage, Angira, similar directors of universal management, showered flowers and chanted mantras indicating the transcendental glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were very happy that things were going good for them. 28. All the demigods, along with the Prajapatis and their descendants, being blessed by Lakshmiji's glance upon them, were immediately enriched with good behavior, transcendental qualities. Thus, they were very much satisfied. There is a neat shloka in Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 7, verse 279. Yatha Lakshmi Priya Vishnus Tulasi Cha Tatorika. It says, as Lakshmi Devi is dear to Lord Vishnu, Tulsi is even more dear. So, it's described by Prabhupada a little bit. Third Canto, Chapter 16, Verse 21. There, it's stated that the Lord said, Lakshmi Devi stays with me because of the benedictions of the Brahmanas. Prabhupada says, by saying it, the Lord is being sarcastic, actually, because the Lord doesn't need the benedictions of the Brahmanas for his wife Lakshmi Devi to stay with him. He says, actually, it appears that Lakshmi Devi is attached to the opulence of the Lord. Therefore, she stays. Now, how is Tulsi bitter? Well, Lakshmi Devi is chala. She has to go. And in Brahmavarta Purana, it was stated that Tulsi had begged the Lord that she may never leave his lotus feet. And the Lord agreed. So she is achala. She's very chaste. She doesn't go. Achala. She doesn't go. She doesn't travel. Because she's very chaste. And she always stays at the lotus feet of the Lord. Yet chala. She goes to her devotees. Now, what is interesting is I have the Sanskrit to prove so many ways that Tulsi Rani is Janani, the mother, and Jagadatri, the mother of the universe. If you're ready to be a child, she's ready to be her mother. Big time. And basically she'll come in the heart just like Paramatma to give you brains, to give you encouragement. And she is more accessible than Krishna. Now Krishna may be very difficult to understand. Bhishma Dev says in First Canto chapter 9 verse 46, Nahi yasya karichada rajana pungsan eva viditsitam charavijigyasaya yukta muyanti kavayopihi. Very difficult to ascertain the plan. Jai Nath. Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji Gornitai Tulsi Rani Ki Jai. Very difficult to ascertain the plan of the personality of Godhead. Great sages and saintly persons acquire exhaustively, yet they're bewildered. But in Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 9, verse 103, it says, Shriyam Dehi, give me wealth. Yasha Dehi, give me fame. Kirtam, give me effulgence. Ayush, duration of life. Tata Sukha, and happiness. Valam, strength. Pushtim, nourishment. Tata Dharma, and religiosity. Tulosi Tom, proceed to me. Oh, Tulsi, if you're pleased with me. So a child can get the straight story from his mother, you know, because she's in charge of Ayush, you know, like that. Ma, what's going to happen? And if she comes in the heart and tells you the strategy, then Krishna has to come later because she already spilled the beans, you know. She already told the story, you know. And so it's really neat, actually. She is the internal part of the internal potency, and she's very compassionate. And in her role in Goloka, nothing happens in Krishna's Leela without her involved in everything. Nothing gets offered in the material world without her. Tabaiva Murtis Tulasin Reloke. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur mentions in Vrindadevastakam Shloka 7, your form in the world of men is the Tulsi plant. Basically, if you got any problems, and hey, we got a lot. Anybody that's got this material body has got a lot of problems. And hey, we have our idiosyncrasies. You know, everybody is better than some and worse than others. You know, like that. And everybody's got a few screws loose. And some people got screws a little bit looser than others. And we also have, aside from that, we have our depression. We have our depression, you know, like that. And there's nothing more satisfying to anybody to know that you got a friend. Krishna's ready to be her friend. Tulsi Rani's ready to be her mother. And it's so comforting. God, somebody loves me. You know, just like, for example, in the prison house. We're all in the prison house of this world. So if of this world, this body, prison. So the prisoners, they always love a pen pal. Oh God, they just look forward to getting a letter from their friend, and they rip it open with great happiness, and they write, reply. They love it. God, you know, I'm in the jail, and everybody hates me. I'm in the jail, and somebody loves me. God, in our interpersonal relationships, people just tolerate our existence. They don't love it. It's a trade-off. Now, I get something from you. You give something to me because I give something to you. It's a trade-off. There's very few, just like husband-wife relationships. In Indian culture, it should be one mind and two bodies. If you find that, nobody has any objection. The difficulty is getting that in Kali Yuga. One mind and two bodies is very difficult to get in Kali Yuga. Krishna happens to be cheaper and sweeter, you know? Basically, Bali Maharaj mentioned in 8th Canto, chapter 22, verse 9, quoting Prahlad Maharaj, that family members, wife and children, they're basically legalized burglars, you know? Prabhupada was saying in that class, if a burglar comes, you call the police. If your spouse and child comes, this is love. How they pick my pocket. You know, the male child picks the mother's pocket and female child picks the father's pocket. Legalized burglar, you know. And the wife, whoever's the best person, you know, the business lady or businessman, then the other weak one picks the other's pocket. You know, it's natural, you know. Legalized burglar, you know. So it's interesting, you know. And there's nothing like a wife and kids to spend money. Like hell. And nowadays in Kali Yuga, due to improvements, in vitro fertilization, and this like that, if the lady is fried with some guy, she doesn't even need the guy now. She doesn't even need the guy. The guy gives a seed and pays the bills, but the kid is everything, you know. The lady doesn't even need the guy now. Basically, I have this in Sanskrit, Tulsi Kavacham. It was mentioned that garbe datte manoharam in shloka number 15 in Tulsi Kavacham, that a barren girl will have a child by Tulsi Rani's blessing that captivates her mind. Although garbe datte manoharam means that a child will become which captivates a lady's mind. They should know that a lady is more happy with her child than chaste to her husband. You know, husband can be expendable, but the kid is everything, you know, like that. And I asked, and I asked two sadhvis in South Africa. And I, on a Wednesday, I visited one sadhvi. Her husband was at work. And I said, "Mother, we heard that a mother loves her child more than she loves her husband. Is it true?" "I've heard that. I don't know. I don't have a child." Later on, about a year and a half later, I saw her with her husband in Durban Ratha Yatra. She goes, "I can answer the question now." "Yeah." And her husband just threw it over his shoulder like, "Oh, well, hey, life goes on. You know, he's also my friend," you know, like that. Then another sadhvi told me, "Naturally, a woman holds a child in the womb for 9 months and is always absorbed in the moral benefits of the child. You know, naturally, a mother loves her child more than she loves her husband. It's natural psychology, you know, like that." Interesting stuff. So this shloka says that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the great sage Angad, his symbol directors shower flowers and chanted mantras. The transcendental glories of the personality of Godhead. And all the demigods, along with Prajapatis and their descendants, being blessed by Lakshmiji's glance upon them, were immediately enriched with good behavior, transcendental qualities that are very much satisfied. 29. Nisattva lulupa rajan narudyoga gatatrapa yada kopakshita lakshmiya babuvur daityadanava. O king, because of being neglected by the goddess of fortune, the demons and rakshasas were depressed, bewildered, and frustrated. Thus they became shameless. Text 30. Atasit varani devi Kanya Kamala Lochana Asura Jagruhus Tamvai Harir Anumatenate. Next appeared Varuni, the lotus-eyed goddess who controls drunkards. With the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the demons, headed by Bali Maharaj, took possession of this young girl. Varuni, who controls drunkards. And the demons are famous drunkards. And Balaram is also, but his different. He also, Varuni Devi is also considered to be one of his consorts, you know, like that. But although Balarama likes to get intoxicated sometimes on kadambari, and I still didn't get the recipe. What is that, you know? What is it made of? What is it? Kadambari. It means it is a liquor made out of fermented kadamba flowers. Must have been God, you know, some honey, you know, fruits, something, you know, mashed together, made a drink, you know, like that. It's Varuni, you know, like this. Now, in Bhakti Sandarbh, it's mentioned that if it's intoxicating, bhaktas can't take it. Now, the reason why Jiva Goswami mentioned it, because in Baldau, which is a town in near Mathura, other side, the pujaris offer the Dauji deity, bhang, you know, marijuana drink, and they drink the prasadam. So evidently Jiva Goswami didn't want people to do that, you know. In Jiva's day, it was going on evidently. So Jiva Goswami literally wrote it out. It's forbidden. If the Varuni is intoxicating, don't take it, you know, like that. Don't take the remnants, you know. We can give it to Dauji, right. Throw it in the Yamuna, you know. Just like pan. You know, pan has got a buzz, slightly intoxicating. You can offer to the personality of God it, but you can throw it right in the Yamuna, right afterwards. It's the same kind of thing, you know. My godbrother Karmak used to give a Varuni beverage drink that they used to offer on Dauji's appearance day. Made out of honey and crushed fruits and stuff. It was fresh, you know, like that. It was fresh. And you made it. And it contained a lot of honey and woo! You know, it was rocket fuel stuff, you know. Definitely not for brahmacharis to drink, but just take a little sip and go on, you know, like that. Better to take stuff with a lot of yogurt that doesn't have much rocket fuel in it, you know, like that. It's not too sweet, too sickening sweet, you know, like that. So like that. If it's too sickening sweet, you know, then you're not going to be able to drink a lot of it. You know, drink a little bit, you know, like that, just to honor, you know. Only Dauji can do it. And Dauji in Govindavala Bhanatakam is completely smashed a lot on Kadambari. So much smashed, so much intoxicated, he doesn't know which way to go. In the third act, he wants to be with the boys, you know? And so he goes to the Yamuna, and he's seeing double. The boys in the Yamuna and the boys in the bank of the Yamuna. Which should I be with? So he jumps in the Yamuna. And then the other boys who were his friends, Mandali Bhadra, Varun Tapa, you know, Mahabala, they're monsters. Vijay, you know, they're big boys. Nah. Mahabala, they're big boys. They're muscular, they're huge. And they go, well, you could get hurt. And Balaram says, I'm having too much fun. So they drag him out of the Yamuna by force. You know, and then he goes, is there anything left in the jug? I'm thirsty. So Krishna turns to Madhumanga, what should we do? And Madhumanga looks at Dauji and goes, uh-uh, don't give it to him. So Krishna has to think fast on his feet. And he goes, the mutka, the mutka. Oh, sorry, it must have dropped and broken. Then Dauji goes, everybody's got their tiffin on the bank of the Yamuna. They're broke up on their tiffin, they're eating. Now, where's mine? One boy threw it to a second. Second boy threw it to a third. Third boy threw it to a fourth. So Krishna goes, we have to trace it. So Dauji got angry. I don't have my drink and my tiffin. So he starts to chase the boys. And the boys scatter in all directions. Then Pravishad Gita Kirti. At night, the boys are going to come home and they're going to spill the beans. So Dauji started to feel about that. The boys are going to spill the beans. So he turns and says, Krishna, you're not going to tell my mother Rohiniya had too much to drink in the forest, are you? Me! I'm your younger brother. I just do whatever you say. But I can't say anything about these boys. So then Dauji goes up to the boys. You're not going to say anything to my mother that I had too much to drink, are you? Me! We want to play with you from tomorrow. So Krishna says, see, you don't have to worry about me and you don't have to worry about my friends. But this Brahmin is a truthfully speaking chap. So Balaram went to Madhu. Madhu, you're not going to say anything to my mother, Rohini. I had too much to drink, are you? Madhu, you're not going to say anything that I had too much to drink in the forest, are you? Madhu, you're not going to say anything that I had too much to drink in the forest to my mother, Rohini, are you? Then he ties his Sikh up to the tree and he starts to tickle him. let me go, let me go, let me go. Okay, I want to play with you for tomorrow. I won't say nothing. Promise? I won't say nothing. And let him go. Interesting story. So, actually, there was a... Tridhama and Sudhama were talking in the beginning of act number... In middle of act number one. And Dauji goes, what is this? You're talking and you're not putting me into it? Well, we want to invite you to our house. And what will you give us? Everything in our house belongs to you. Well, will you give us wine? And Sridhama goes, yeah. Is that a fact? Yes. Then let's go immediately. And Dauji and Krishna take the shortcut. You know, everybody is going, you know, on the long road through Nandagram. You know, it takes like, from Nandagram to Varshana, 10 kilometers, something like that. And Balaram and Krishna and the boys went to Sanket. It went through a shortcut road to get there quicker. So halfway there, then Sridham tells Sudhama, hey, go tell our mothers that that's what they wanted, what you wanted is now coming to pass. So Sudhama went ahead. And the mother of Sudhama, which is Chandrabanu's wife, Sushila, she goes, Sudhama, what are you doing here? And you're here without your brother Sridhama. Mother, that which you wanted is coming to pass. Krishna and Balaram are coming to our house. Really? So then he turns to Kirtida and goes, call the girls. We should have a festival. We should make everything ready for them. So it was described that the girls, they got all these girls with mango leaves and uludvani, you know, like this, and man, you know, and their coconuts on their heads and this and that. And they made a swagatam, welcome ceremony for Krishna Balaram come. So Sushila's offering a golden thali and to Krishna and Balaram, welcome. And then Kirtida gets nervous. Hey, Sri Dama, what should we give Krishna and Balaram? He goes, Kadambari. Sura, liquor, Sura, will that be appropriate? Well, I promise, mother. So then she pulls out a mutka of Kadambari. And she gives it. And so Balaram grabs that and swings it around in circles and dances. He goes, Krishna, would you like to have this? This is nice. On second thought, you're a little young. You know, like, you know, Dowji and Krishna are like, you know, what is it? Well, it's only basically 7-8 days different, you know. And Dowji quaps half of it down. And Jadavita Maharaj laughed and goes, really, Balaram was getting drunk at 6 years old? 6-7 years old, Balaram was drunk, yeah. Then Kirtida goes, Dowji, if you're pleased, could I beg another benediction? Anything, mother, name it. Could you please bless my two sons, Sridham and Sudham in the forest? But mother, I'm already doing that. And she brings out another mutka of Kadambari, and Krishna and Madhu Mangal see it, and they go, like this, and she hides it behind her back, you know, like that. No, don't give it to him. He's already smashed enough, you know. He's smashed enough at Kadambari, you know. It's interesting stuff, you know. Whole past. And then by Act 5, all the boys are smashed. You know, it's like, evidently, Kadambari was something that they gave. It's a Brajavasi thing. They gave it, you know, in the forest. And everybody used to take it, you know, in Vrindavan, you know. And they were totally smashed on this Kadambari, you know, all the time, you know. Kadambari was evidently a very common thing. I'm yet to get the exact recipe, you know, which I should probably print with Jiva Goswami's warnings. This is not for sadhus or sadhvis, but this is the recipe, you know. Because there is a saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You know, it's like using Tulsi Rani for medicine, you know. We don't like it, but we can't stop it. It goes on. We can say, all right, okay, if she's offered to Lord Vishnu, it'll be more potential. You want to get more bang for your buck, you know, for your medicine, then offer it to Lord Vishnu. What constitutes bona fide use? Well, I thought, well, if it's small scale and offered to the deities, you get away with it. Now, what constitutes a bona fide small scale industry? You know, basically what we really object to is impersonal, factory produced stuff. But what constitutes a bona fide small-scale industry? When does the border happen? When it goes from homemade to factory-produced, you know? I haven't answered that question yet, you know? What constitutes a bona fide small-scale industry? But there's one thing is for sure. Lakshmi Devi is very neat, and people really like her benedictions a lot, you know? And Tulsi is better. Now, what is interesting about her is that she's actually better. She's not a poor girl. She can pay for it. Now, everybody needs wealth in this world. So if you chant Tulsi Kavacham in Vishnu's temple, then Lakshmi Devi will give you money like that. So one devotee who I know, householder devotee, hacker cracker, friend of mine, has a wife and two legalized burglars. And basically, he was saying, oh God, I would be so happy if I didn't have to do this software business, you know, like that. And like that, software designing, I could just work for sadhus and be happy if I could get the money I need to maintain my family. I chanted Tulsi Kavacham in Vishnu's temple for his puja room for 40 days. And I didn't get it. And I go, you didn't get it. You have to beg a little harder. You beg a little more, beg a little harder, you know, it's like that. Now, if you're not getting it, gee, maybe Lord Vishnu wants to set another example, you know. Wants to improve your vairagya, improve your detachment, and like this. Prabhupada said that Krishna was father. He gives you slap or he gives you rasgulla, but he's father. So sometimes, you know, sometimes we don't get what we ask for, you know, like that. We just have to beg a little more. If you beg Tulsi Rani, then she'll give it. We just have to beg a little more. A whole bhakti process is a process of begging. All right, we'll get a little bit more. Shloka 31. Ato dadar mat yamanat kasha bhair amritar tibi odatishtan maharaja purusha paramad buddha. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O King, thereafter, while the sons of Kashyapa, both demons and demigods, were engaged in churning the ocean of milk, a very wonderful male person appeared. 32. Dirga Pivara Dordanda Kambu Grivo Aruneksana Shavalas Tarana Shragvi Sarva Varana Bhushatehi. He was strongly built, his arms were long, stout, and strong. His neck, marked by three lines, resembled a conch shell, eyes were reddish, complexion was blackish, he was very young, garlanded with flowers, his tarlam body was fully decorated with various ornaments. 33. Pitavasa Mohoraska Sumrishta Manikundala Snegda Kunjita Keshanta Subhaga Simavikrama Amrita Purna Kalasham Bibrad Valaya Bhushita. He was dressed in yellow garments and wore brightly polished earrings made of pearls. The tips of his hair were anointed with oil. His chest was very broad. His body had all good features. He was stout and strong like a lion, and he was decorated with bangles. In his hand he carried a jug filled to the top with nectar. Today's shloka. Savai Bhagavata Sakshat Vishnor Samsa Sambhava Dantvantari Iti Khyata Ayurveda Drigija Bhak. Synonyms. Saha, he, vai, indeed. Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshat, directly. Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu. Amsa Amsa, Sambhava, incarnation of the plenary portion of a plenary portion. Danvantari, Danvantari. Iti, thus. Kyata, celebrated. Ayurveda drig, fully conversant in the medical science. Ijabak, one of the demigods eligible to share the benefits of sacrifices. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. This person was Danvantari, a plenary portion of a plenary portion of Lord Vishnu. He is very conversant with the science of medicine, and as one of the demigods, he is permitted to take a share of sacrifice. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya remarks, Tesam Satyach Chala Nartham Harir Danvantir Danvantari Rabhu Vibhu Samartho Pi Asaranangatu Svahastad Amuchatsudam. Dhanvantari, who was carrying the jug containing nectar, was a plenary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. But although he was very strong, the servants were able to take the jug of nectar from his hands. They stole it. So it's kind of, well, Dhanvantari is interesting. It's described in Agni Purana a lot. Agni Purana's got a lot of information. Garuda Purana has a lot too. All about medicinal stuff. That's good for people. And like that. Now, Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 13 says, Kvedam Kalevaram. What is this body? Asesha Rajambiroham. A holding container of various diseases. So, you know, what is well? Wellness simply means less diseases are there today. Now, you know, health is good, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Amritavani said, we are here for a very short while. If the body wears out by constant service to Lord Hari, our efforts will be crowned with success. Physical illness with Hari Bhajan is preferable to physical fitness without Hari Bhajan. So, you know, health is not bad. Hey, you know, doing a few yoga asanas and stuff like that to stay healthy is not bad. You know, doing pratikara, you know, some, you know, basically reformatory practices. Jaina. Man. A few reformatory practices is not bad, you know, for health, but not at the expense of bhajan, you know, specifically chanting like that. Health is okay, hey, but not at the expense of our chanting, not at the expense of our sadhana. Sadhana is more important than anything else. And good health is secondary, you know, like that. Keep that in mind. At the same time, you know, why do we have good health anywhere? Bhagavatam, 1st canto, chapter 2, verse 10. One should desire a healthy body inasmuch as it's made for the human form of life for self-realization, and nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So basically, one has a right to have a healthy body, but only for Krishna's service, like that. Only for Krishna's service. And so that's what a Vaishnava and Vaishnavi wants. Now, what did he die of? He died of SIDS, standard ISKCON dietary side effects. You know, you know. Basically, the stuff we're offering the deities is okay, but there was a funny story that Bhurijan also tells. It happened in Vrindavan that one prostitute wanted to do a bandara, you know, a feast on the parents' day of her father. So she gave a donation, okay, to the deity. And the deity's prasad was fed to a bunch of sadhus. And the sadhus didn't know. And at night they all dropped their vital force. Now, one guy drives his vital force, it's not a big deal. But all 50? Wait a minute, you know? And so they thought, what's going on? So they went to the head mahant of all those 50 sadhus, went to the pujari and said, ask the Lord, what's going on, you know? And the Lord said, hey, look, I can purify everything. I can eat everything. Doesn't mean you can, you know? So just because it's offered doesn't mean that we got to eat it, you know, like that. Nowadays, people are cooking because they have to, not because they want to, you know. It's really different, you know, like that. Before, used to drive halfway across town just to get some prasadam. It was so good, you know. Here or anywhere else, prasadam was happening, like that. And we used to join, then we were thinking, where am I going to get such prasadam, you know. Nowadays, people in Auckland, they were saying, Sunday feast is less. And I thought, people are voting with their feet. What to do, nah? If the quality of stuff in the prasadam in the temple is less than what they can get at home, why should I take the trouble of jumping in my car and driving halfway across town to get it? You know, people are voting with their feet. So if you want to increase the Sunday feast attendance, increase the quality of the prasadam. Now, Prabhupada said about feeding Krishna. Krishna is hungry, proportionate to the greed to give it to him. Doesn't matter, garland, some cloth, some foodstuff. When you're greedy to present it, Krishna's greedy to accept it. Sometimes he'll even send his courier to take it. Your offering. That is really neat. You know, I'm from an old cook background, okay? In the old days, 35, 40 years ago, they used to have four kinds of medals, awards. And if it were, the gold medal was when it was stolen. You got off the altar and was stolen, and you don't know who stole it. Because if the devotee stole it, maybe Krishna stole it first, you know. And then we found out later. It turned out the president was a very voracious eater. Now, you got off the altar, the silver medal is you got off the altar and it wasn't stolen. It means the president was busy. Well, they didn't steal it, you know, they have to be tweaked a little more, you know. If the fire doesn't roar with one bite, cook failed, you know, like that. If it's not stolen, cook failed, you know. If the doll is dull, cook failed, you know. This doll is dull, you know. The doll is the hallmark of a cook, you know. They have to really know how to, they have to really, if they can make dal good, tasty, then that is a good cook, you know. Like that. And the iron medal, oh wait, the bronze medal was, you cooked it for the Sunday feast and it's gone. There's not a drop left for the stragglers. You don't cook for who might come. You cook for who you know are coming. Because any cook has got dry goods stocked. You give me 20 minutes and 50 people and they'll be fed. We're not cooking for who might come. We're cooking for who we know are come. And the booby prize was the iron medal left over. Why is it left over, nah? Why was it left over? They didn't like it? You made too much? There was some unwritten rules that kept the cooks on their toes. If the cook makes it kacha, cook eats it. If the cook makes too less, cook starves. If the cook eats too much, cook eats it, you know? If the cook burns it, cook eats the burnt part. It kept the cooks on their toes. It kept the cooks on their toes. And actually, nobody does that these days, but actually it was happening. And I learned a lot of tricks from my godbrothers, a lot of tricks of the trade. One trick was if, like, you have some daily sweet, some gulab jamuns or something like that, and the sugar water goes off, okay? If the sugar water goes off, you simply boil it again, and all the bacteria goes out. You know, it doesn't taste the same, you know, like any drink. You know, you got an herbal tea, something like that. If it goes fermented, you boil it again, and the back, you know, it's not going to taste the same, but it's not going to mess your stomach. Another trick was, if you accidentally burn something, you know, we used to have some tricks. Just like, suppose you burn some sweet rice. You know, I mean, that's not a joke. Come on. You got 30 liters of milk and you burnt the damn stuff, you know. Pwah! You know, first business is smell it. Is it bad? You know, maybe you transfer it into another pot, okay, and test it again. Maybe not so bad, you know. And then you continue. Or if it's bad, don't squirt, don't push the bottom because the burn will come up from the bottom. Transfer it immediately. But if the milk was really bad, if the milk was burnt, we would put a little bit of, you know, like vanilla bean, like that. We would put vanilla bean in it. And if it was really bad, we would put vanilla bean, we would put cinnamon, we would put nutmeg in it, and you caramelize the sugar. Keep the caramel, the sugar separate, and you caramelize the sugar and throw it in, you know. Then if they have all four, they really burnt the hell out of it, you know. If you got all four things in there, they really burnt the hell out of it, you know. And you were trying, Who burned it? You burned it. When things were burnt, it's like, or milk was boiling over. Who's going to hell? You know, isn't it like that? The milk was boiling over on the stove or something like that. Who's going to hell? And if they burnt the sweet rice four times, oh man, if they got all four things, they really burnt the hell out of that. And you always put the sugar at the end. Because you may have to caramelize it. If it's sweet rice is good, then you can, you don't have to caramelize it, you know. And you may have to caramelize the sugar. So you keep it at the end. And you put the caramelized sugar and add it at the end. We had all these tricks in the trade. Another trick was put some, if you have a burnt pot, you know, suppose you burnt the sabji or you burnt something, you know, burnt the rice or something, you know, like that. Then you put some, a little bit of water and put a bunch of baking soda. And leave it for a half an hour, and that stain will come up easier. Scrub the clean off easier. We had all these tricks of the trade, you know, which you were handed down from one cook to another cook, like that. And some of them we learned the hard way, you know. We had to suffer first. And then your friends, what the hell they do that to you for? Nah. Just like I learned a lot of tricks, you know, like that. I learned a lot of tricks in the old days because of all that. So Dhanvantari was famous. Agni Purana is full of lots of stuff, Ayurvedic medicine. Garuda Purana, full of it. Plenty of stuff you'll get. There's Shushruta Samhita, Charak Samhita. Basically it all Ayurvedic stuff, Ayurvedic medicines. And it's all originally coming from Dhanvantari. Dhanvantari gave it. But it was described as soon as the demons saw the nectar, even though he was strong, they grabbed it. They grabbed it from him. They wanted the nectar, and they didn't have any etiquette. Here's an expansion of the personality of Godhead. They didn't care. They just wanted the nectar, and they stole it. So even though he was strong, you know, like that, they grabbed it from him. Like that. So it's interesting stuff. Now, and the demigods were morose. Oh, they were bummed out. Oh, boy, you know. And then the Lord said, don't worry about it. I'll get it back. And he manifested himself as Mohini Murti, just to bewilder the minds of the demigods, of the demons, and steal the nectar and give it. And it was described that Rahu went between Surya and Chandra to drink nectar, and they fingered him. So this is why, because the nectar, Mohini Murti cut his head off. And because the nectar, he drank some of the nectar, Rahu's head went up in the firmament and lived. Later on, his body fell down. And later on, it was also rejuvenated and came back. It became Ketu, means indecisive energy. It also became rejuvenated also. Ketu was the body of Rahu, cut off. Now, I got some interesting pramanams that garlic and onion. And I was always remember, why in the hell Vaishnavas don't like garlic and onion? I remember when I was in 10th standard thinking like that. You know, 15-year-old kid, you know, like that, before I became a devotee. And one of my biology teachers said, the onion plant doesn't have a proper way to eliminate its toxins. So that tangy taste that everybody likes, the stool of the onion plant. So I pulled out Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verse 10. Yata yam yam gata rasyam puti pariyusha tamachayat uchistam api cha medyam bojanam tamasapriyam. And I showed it to him. Well, and he bought the whole Bhagavad Gita for $5. How much is this? Oh, it's a nice book, you know. $5, you know. All my teachers got it, you know, and he got it. That was an interesting story. So, there's two itihasas why we don't like. So, one brahmana was doing a go-meda yajna. And an old cow was being rejuvenated to a young cow, to test the efficacy of the mantras. So the brahmana's wife wanted to taste some of the flesh, so she stashed them. He caught her. From the white flesh sprang garlic, and from the red flesh sprang onions. Interesting. Another one. is when Mohinimurti cut off the head of Rahu, some of the blood flow from his neck and hit the ground and produce onions and garlic. So, like garlic is mentioned in Ayurvedic texts for some infections. But because it increases taste for tamasic, it has to be taken for short-term duration only. You know, pills, something like that. Short-term duration only. Not to mess you up with an attachment for tamasic vritti. That's the idea. So these are some of the things. And when the devotees in Tirupati show these to the brahmanas in Tirumala, they literally kicked out onion and garlic out of their kitchens on top of the hill. It's still going on in the lower section of Tirupati because, you know, people are attached in the restaurants and they got to make a buck and are doing it, you know. But basically, this is the reality why onion and garlic are not taken by devotees. Interesting stuff. So that's what's stated about Dhanvantari. Dhanvantari is neat. And there's actually, in Indonesia, in Bali, there's actually only one temple that has a murti. It's a Dhanvantari temple. You know? In Kintamani, you know, like that. Just above, you know. Near, not far from that volcano, that extinct volcano, Batur. You know, like that. Blew up about, 50 years ago or something like that. But it's considered to be unactive right now. On the way to Singaraja, you got to go through there, and it's a hill station, you know. And I sweat like a dog, so I roll the window down. This is great. We should have a preaching center here, you know. Everybody's got a coat on, you know, and I roll down the window. Yeah, it's great, you know. It's great. Batur is great. Woo. Kintamani is good. Woo, good. Anyway, Dhanvantari is the only temple in Bali Dwipa that has a murti. Every other temple doesn't have a murti. Doesn't have a form, but Hare Krishna. Hey, can I serve the devotees? Is there any questions anybody's got? If you've got a question, you have a relationship. If you don't have a question, where is your relationship?